Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is Thursday. What a day. It is great to have you in live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. I had a tremendous night of sleep, hydrated, watched the NBA draft, hugely excited for the Seahawks Arizona tonight, the Pacific Northwest. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. It's funny, like, getting a good night's sleep at one point in your life becomes a very exciting thing.
Yeah,
one point in your life, going out to the bar is very exciting.
Yeah.
And then getting a good night's sleep is just exciting. And I had a big realization last night.
That you like the NBA draft as much as I like high school football recruiting.
Yeah, like I'm the, how you are such a nerd about recruiting for the NFL, that's how I am for the NBA.
Yeah, well, like we're one percenters. But everybody's got something they're into that nobody else is. My wife can play jigsaw puzzles all week, and I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah, like I love the Heat's pick. I love Nico Mannion to the Warriors. Point guard at 48, this is a steal. RJ Hampton's going to the Bucks. I love all of it.
Well, let's start with this. So the NBA draft, it didn't used to be this way, but, you know, life changes. This year, 2020, is the year of change. The NBA draft now, all of it is now a developmental draft. The NBA draft now is a developmental draft. These are all startups. A lot of potential for some of these startups, but they'll probably only be one or two Ubers. You know what happens to angel investors and startups? Most disappear into the ether or fail quickly. That is what the draft is. Ask yourself this. What sport do we bet the most? NFL. What sport do we play more fantasy with? Football, NFL. What sport has the fewest games and creates the most urgency? The games matter more. NFL. Fact, fact, fact. All three of those are what? They create emotion. And emotion is what drives us to a television set. The NBA ratings have been on a 10-year slide. It's politics. Oh, come on. Can you stop your agenda? Hockey ratings got hit the worst this year. They didn't do politics. Baseball playoffs took it in the chin. They didn't do much politics. The Masters golf rating was the lowest since 1957. They didn't do politics. Maybe the politics didn't help the NBA. The NBA's got a bigger problem. Who are these guys? Joy loves them. 1% of people do, and I think it's great. I like high school football recruiting. Who are they? Last night, I'm watching the NBA draft. I'm a sportscaster. It's become the baseball draft. You ever watch a baseball draft? You're like, oh, I remember that guy at the College World Series, the Vanderbilt pitcher. There'll be like three guys a year in the baseball draft. I'm like, oh, he played at Vanderbilt. It's always like Southern baseball. Oh, he was LSU third baseman. Last night, not a lot of Duke guys or Gonzaga guys or UCLA guys. I'm rooting for the kid from Tel Aviv. I think it's amazing the story of these Nigerian families and the players. I think it's amazing, but I don't know them. And then they disappear to bad. The stars in this draft go in the top eight picks. They go to bad teams. Bad teams don't make the playoffs. And those kids disappear into the NBA ether. By the way, the good teams don't want the players. Golden State Warriors, reportedly. My favorite player was James Wiseman. They're going to look to move him. They want to win now. LeBron James a few years ago could have had Andrew Wiggins. He's like, nah, give me Kevin Love. I want to win playoff games now. So the good teams and the good players, I've been saying this for years. The NFL understands the value of college football. The NBA rolls its eyes at college basketball. The only reason I knew Zion outside of some internet photos and videos, because of Duke. I learned his personality and I loved him. I saw his smile. I saw him break through shoes. I loved Zion. I mean, we talked about him. I was talking about him when he's 19. If not for Duke, he's just an internet sensation. There's like 8,000 of those created every day on Instagram and YouTube. But then I met him and I saw him smile and I heard him talk and how much he loved Duke and he broke through the shoes and he refused I'm going to play again. I love this sport. Well, I love you. and now it's why I watch you. And Zion's first NBA game was a summer league game, and he broke a television rating. And he played in the NBA, and they put him on Christmas, and he got a rating. The more you bet, the more you know, the more you care, the more you watch. The NFL has never rolled its eyes at college football. They understand it's a free marketing platform. Anybody listening or watching this show, if you were starting a business today, and you know you don't have a ton of money, but you start a small business, Joey and I, we're going to start businesses. If I said to you, hey, I'm going to give you 2 free years of marketing, you'd be like, okay, I'll take it. Every company in the world is looking for free marketing. That's what college basketball is. You don't even pay for it. That's what college football is. We have demonized college basketball. It's the only reason I know who Zion is. I'm not asking the kids to stay there for 4 years, three, two. But one isn't the end of the world. By the way, the top of the NFL draft last year, here's where the players came from. LSU, Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Auburn, Clemson, Florida, and Alabama. I watched them all for 3 years. I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting against them. I've got an emotional connection. You're all, everybody's got their agenda with politics. And nobody's watching the NBA because of politics. The NBA's been on a 9 to 10 year slide. There was no Black Lives Matter 10 years ago, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And the ratings were going down. I'm not blaming the kids. Stop demonizing college basketball. It's a free platform. Go for a year. Meet kids you'd never meet otherwise. Or go to the G League. Yuck. Nothing against it, but if LeBron James would have gone to Carolina for 1 year, I bet you today, and he's been the player empowerment player in our league, I bet you today, he would have the coolest memories of North Carolina. Zion will never be able to duplicate Duke. He may bounce around the NBA. LeBron's been on a bunch of teams. But you go back and ask Michael Jordan about Carolina. He goes there constantly. He gives money to the program. He was connected to Dean Smith to the end. He's connected to Roy Williams. I'm not saying you have to stay there forever. But this idea that college basketball is just bad for the NBA is nonsense. Last night, it's just a developmental draft. Maybe one of those kids will be Uber, but most will disappear into the fabric. 2 years from now, we'll be talking about other guys we didn't watch and don't know who they are. Good luck to all of them. I am rooting for them. Okay, so it is, I'll just tell you right now, I probably shouldn't say this. It's bad for my ratings. It's a really bad week to bet football. It's a lousy NFL number week. I've already made my 3 biggest NFL bets. I did it on Monday, and the lines have all gotten worse. The best bet of the week remaining may be tonight, and it's Seattle. Seattle over Arizona. And I know what you're saying. Oh, Colin, you're crazy. You're a crazy old man. Kyler Murray's amazing. But everything changes for Kyler Murray tonight. That win over Buffalo and Miami, come on, man. You didn't watch those games. 75% of the country did not get those games beamed into their local network affiliate. You watched them on highlights. Tonight's national TV. Kyler Murray this week is getting MVP talk. We didn't get that before this week. Oh, by the way, he's now division lead against the rival Hawks, can pull away. Tonight is a microscope. Tonight is pressure. Tonight is expectations. Look at the people he's up with in the MVP odds. Mahomes, Super Bowl and an MVP. Russell Wilson, Rodgers, Brady, Super Bowls, MVPs. Kyler Murray, career record, 11-13-1, and I like him a lot. Tonight is his first moment. I mean, real moment, not regional TV. And this is what Hail Marys do. I mean, this is what they do. They take spectacular talent to MVP of the league, he and Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And I'm not saying he's not gifted. But if you don't think pressure matter, if you don't think expectations change the game, you're crazy. You know how many guys I've seen fold on golf courses? How many quarterbacks I've seen fold in fourth quarters? The NFL is about steps. Now, the good news for Kyler is to go from 5-11 to the MVP, We saw it with Mahomes, and we saw it with Lamar. And if not for an injury, we would have seen it with Carson Wentz. You can go from young guy, rookie year, chop it up a little, and then you're the MVP. And I will say this for Kyler, whereas the NBA draft was 30 prospects, the NFL draft now is no prospects. When Joe and I were growing up, the NFL first round was starters, but the quarterbacks were always, they'll sit for a while. Yeah, that's over. Like, that's over. And they're all good early. So I think Kyler will be good tonight. But Arizona's been outplayed for 3 weeks in a row at home. And they've won two of them. Now they go to Seattle. Kyler's being talked about as an MVP. Seattle's lost 3 of 4. It's the biggest game in 2 years for the Seahawks. Pete Carroll's going to the Hall of Fame. Russell Wilson's going to the Hall of Fame. And here comes the young kid up to the cold, frigid, wet weather of the Northwest. Really like Seattle tonight a lot. All right, coming up. I think it is amazing what the Ball family's done. It's amazing. To have a child drafted is amazing. How about two? It's amazing. But I think there's something we have to look at. Why LaMelo may be fun and exciting and flashy and different, but he has no chance to be a dominant NBA player. Two things that are really obvious, and that's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rec-Tec Grill, more than a grill, it's a lifestyle. Check it out, RECTEQ.com, built by grillers for grillers. 6-year warranty. That's a long warranty in any business. Cars are only on warranty for a couple years. 6-year warranty, Rec-Tec Grills. So if you've never gone to an NBA game, it's sometimes surprising how physical the league is. I've always said I love Chris Paul. Chris Paul was physical. Michael Jordan was physical. Michael got tackled for 7 years. You just don't understand when you watch the Lakers and the Miami Heat in the finals, as Joy and I discussed, the Lakers' older players, Rondo and LeBron and AD, they intimidated Miami. They just leaned on them and pushed them. That wasn't about who has the better passers and shooters. That was just men pushing around kids. That's why young teams almost, I can't remember the last young team that won an NBA championship. I mean, seriously, you're talking about men versus boys. And so LaMelo Ball gets drafted by Michael Jordan in Charlotte, and he's going to be wildly entertaining. I mean, Lonzo hasn't become what we thought. But LaMelo, I think, is a little bit better shooter, but not a very good shooter. Lonzo's a terrible shooter. So I was shocked last night going on Twitter, which isn't real life, but sometimes does offer some context, and how many people were like, oh, he's going to be a star! Well, no, he has no chance to be a fundamental game changer in the NBA. And it's nothing against the Ball family. I've brought the dad on many times. I think he's wildly entertaining, goofy. And I like Lonzo, and I think LaMelo's going to be fun and entertaining. But go look at the most important, winningest players in the NBA last 30 years. And I wrote them down. Magic, Bird, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, Steph, Duncan, and that's eight. Magic, Shaq, Bird, Duncan, MJ, Kobe, Steph, LeBron. All of them are either great scorers or they have a physical presence. Magic Johnson was a 6'9 point guard. The average point guard was 6'2. He had a physical presence. Then go after the next eight that maybe don't have the titles but are winning players and are not maybe fundamentally changing the league but are great players. D-Wade, Kevin Garnett, KD, Kawhi, Dirk, Hakeem, Karl Malone, Barkley. All are great scorers, or they have a physical presence. And in many instances, Karl Malone or Hakeem or Shaq, they're both. LaMelo can't shoot. He will never be a great scorer in this league. And he does not like contact. He plays defense like kids in the burbs play defense. He doesn't like contact. He doesn't like attacking the rim. He doesn't like getting hit. He doesn't want to hit the deck. I remember when D. Wade came into this league and Michael Jordan came into the league. I watched them as rookies. They attacked the rim, and that's when you could tackle guys. D-Wade didn't care. By the way, his last year in the league. He still didn't care. They attacked bigger players. D-Wade, 6'4 and a half, would go right at Shaq. Go right to the rim. Michael Jordan. People were worried when Michael Jordan came into this league that he played too hard. People were like, dude, shoot jumpers. Not his style. The great fundamental game changers in this league are one of two things or both. They are either elite scorers. You can't stop them. Or they've got this physical component. Now, LaMelo, those are two things he'll never have. There's never been a guy that came into the NBA, and I've said this about UFC. By 9 years old, it will be established. At 9 years old, whether you're the kind of guy that will go into an octagon and get hit in the face or not. If you grow up with aggressive brothers, your brothers, you're playing football in the yard, they're knocking you around, maybe you'll fight in the UFC. You're not taking kids with the crown molding, granite countertops in the burbs to be UFC guys generally. Like, it gets established very early. Are you going to be a fighter or a lover? Are you going to be finesse or are you going to be physical? And a lot of it has to do with your family and your brothers and whatever it is. Your life, right? Like, LaMelo's going to be fun and exciting. And I think he'll be much more riveting to watch than Lonzo. I think his game is much more TV-centric and TV-equipped. He's a very clever passer, although Lonzo's a very clever passer, and he's a big guard, so he'll rebound well. But this league has been changed. I'm not talking about guys that are fun to watch. Trae Young's fun to watch. Who changes the league? Who's a great player? Great score, physical component. LaMelo doesn't have either. He's never going to be a physical player. That's okay. By the way, a lot of guys made the Hall of Fame, not all physical players. I mean, George Gervin's going to make the Hall of Fame. He was the Iceman, 6'7", weighed about 112 pounds, and finger rolled from 8 feet. You can be, but not today. Not the way the world works. And so, fun, exciting, yes. Game changer. No, won't happen. It's okay. Congrats to the family. It's a great story. It's a great American story. The draft last night was developmental and great stories. Not a lot of great players, but great stories. Joy with the news.
Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, Seahawks running back Chris Carson returned to practice as a limited participant on Tuesday, but he did not practice Wednesday. Seattle was hoping he would be able to return this week after missing three games with a foot injury. However, he's listed as questionable for tonight's game and is reportedly not expected to play.
It's injury, so I don't have any strong opinions on this, but as somebody who grew up in the Northwest, I think Chris is a terrific player, but man, he's not available much. Like, he's just not available. And Pete Carroll's comment was he had a great week of practice, but I think he's really valuable to them. Like, they change to a physical team when he's out there, but he is just not. They have to go out and draft another running back to this team. They really do. They need to. Pete Carroll's teams have always at their best been physical. Marshawn Lynch teams, his USC teams when he had Lendale White and Reggie Bush. Matt Leinart got a lot of the headlines, but they ran the football.
Now, Pete likes to run it first. I think that's probably forever going to be part
that's
of his
right.
legacy.
That's who he is.
He would rather run it. So, he's not going to be. Carlos Hyde will play tonight after missing the last three games with a hamstring injury.
Still good. Carlos can play.
He's had 31 carries, 125 yards, and two touchdowns in four games this season. DJ Dallas will also play tonight. Travis Homer is listed as doubtful. They are averaging 116.4 rushing yards per game, the 13th in the league.
And with Chris Carson, that'd probably be closer to 140.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Pete's been talking about. Like, he the whole let Russ cook thing came from he wants to run the ball first. He doesn't want to rely on Russell Wilson to make all the plays. It opens it up. It obviously, having a running game component is crucial to anyone. Like, this is not news. When you have a weapon like Russell Wilson, you want to kind of lean on it, or you feel like you can lean on it. And Pete Carroll doesn't want to do that. But you've got to have available running backs in order to do that. So that's kind of one of the issues that they're running into this season. Also, I mean, you talked about it yesterday. Keeps your defense off the field, which is obviously a big hole for them.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs' only loss this season was to the Raiders, who they play again on Sunday night. And a great weekend of NFL games. And Patrick Mahomes is extremely motivated to avoid the season sweep.
I think anytime you lose to anyone, next time you play them, you want to win the football game. I mean, if you're not ready to go in this game, I'm playing a divisional opponent, playing against a good football team, you know, so I mean a lot going towards the AFC West standings, then you're not in the right sport. And we'll be ready to go, I promise you that.
By the way, you know, we keep just, you know, yeah, the Raiders won. Raiders keep winning a lot of games. Just I want to make it out there. By the way, we know the Saints are good, right? The Raiders owned them in the second half, and they beat the Chiefs. So I just throw it out there. Everybody in the world likes the Chiefs this week. I'm just saying the Raiders keep winning games.
The Raiders keep winning. They're just they're just like winning boring.
No, they run the football and they do safe passing.
Yeah. They're 6-3. So they're right there. And this is a really big game. Like, Patrick Mahomes hasn't lost an opponent twice in one season since before the Patriots. He's only done it once, the Patriots in 2018. And they lost 40-32 in week 5, the Chiefs.
Here's the difference. You know what the Raiders are, Joy? I just thought of this. They're the Minnesota Vikings. The difference is the Vikings lost 2 1-point games. And the Raiders have won a couple of close games. They are boring offensively with a pretty safe quarterback. They've got a great running game. Defense bad with maybe one pass rusher and one good linebacker. And, you know, but I mean, if you look at the Raiders and the Vikings, the difference is Minnesota lost two. They lost, I think, Seattle and Tennessee by a point. If not, the Vikings, what are they, 4-5? They would be 6-3. They would be the Raiders.
This is a really big game.
It's a huge game.
It's a division rivalry. So, like, to Patrick Mahomes' point, like, you got to be ready to go in a game like this. I'm going to lean the Chiefs, even though I know I'm going to make a big deal out of the bulletin board material of them doing a lap around Arrowhead. But, like, you know, who knows? The Chiefs may lean into that. The Patriots came up with all kinds of reasons that they were being, you know, attacked in the media and doubted. And when you're at the top, sometimes you need just tiny little pieces of motivation to remind yourself to go out there and give it a little extra. So Joe Burrow has been living up to the hype through his first 9 games in the NFL, but he says he doesn't care about personal stats. It's only about getting wins for the Bengals.
Hey, Joe, outside of the obvious wins and losses, how will you measure success over the final 7 weeks of the season for you personally and for the team?
Wins and losses.
I love that answer.
Burrow and I are going to end up being good friends. I'm going to make a prediction right now. But
he's a very Colin-like quarterback.
I got to be honest with you. We will be good friends by the end of his career. I'll make it happen because I love this kid.
Well, Joe, if we're going to keep it real, which we do around here, I was much higher on you before the draft.
She was, but she's very petty, and if you have a bad streak, she'll bail on you.
No, I
won't.
Not.
Joy will bail on you.
I love this answer, though. Isn't that a great answer?
Well, again, people make fun of me for saying I like my presidents to be presidential.
Yes.
Yeah, we're seeing how that works
it's
when they're not.
Obvious why.
And I like my quarterbacks to be quarterback heel. The Drew Locks, the Bakers, the silliness, it never works out. I like my presidents to have some refinement. You're the president of not one side or the other. You're the president of the United States, all of us. Act like it. And if you're a quarterback for a $3 billion franchise, get over the awards and stats. Who gives a rip? Win games.
Well, at the end of the day, you can have all those awards and stats, but if it never translates into wins, your career is not going to be anything anyway. So this is the right attitude to have. I mean, if you look at their 2 wins, they beat the Titans. He was not sacked at all in that game.
How could I be friends with him?
How? Well, I think you can continue to say nice things about him. We're in COVID, so, you know, it's going to be a little difficult
to get
some steaks. Yeah. But, you know, maybe you'll come on the show sometime.
That'd be great.
We'd be happy to have you, Joe.
We'd love to have you, Joe. We love you.
And talk about your season. They play Washington this weekend, so.
Yeah, I like him in this game.
That's a game I like the Bengals in.
Here's the thing about Cincinnati. Not only is Burrow been asked to start with a shaky O-line, their schedule's brutal. They got to play the Ravens twice and the Steelers twice and the Browns twice and their schedule's been brutal.
I mean, that's why they went and got him. Like, you get your quarterback. Now it's on them next season to put the right pieces around him.
It's amazing how much quarterback changes it. Like, I never really, nothing against Cincinnati, but I don't pay attention to him. Now with Burrow, I'm doing all their mock drafts last night. Because last night I was all over NFL mock drafts as I watched the NBA draft. I was all into the Bengals draft last year and what they need. And all. Because now Joe Burrow sucked me in emotionally. So now I'm all into the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. And he's obviously the top of the rookie of the year.
Should be.
Odds right now, but he's playing incredible despite having to run around. He's been sacked 31 times in the rest
brutal.
Of the games.
Don't even want to hear that.
So you can really just look at that stat and sum up their season.
And hit probably twice as much.
Yeah.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Huge game tonight. Kyler Murray. I think it's Kyler's biggest game of his career because now it's not a regional TV game. It's a national TV game. You're in first place. You're being talked about as the MVP of the league, which is just something that happened like an hour ago. And so all the expectations for Kyler, now he's not the pesky underdog running around in the desert. Now it's up in the Northwest trying to beat a legend, Russ Wilson. And Albert Breer is joining us Monday morning. Quarterback brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. And it was funny. So when he got drafted, I didn't know if he'd make it. You know, I was like, gosh, he's kind of small. Mm-hmm. And then Joey and I have been joking. By last year, game two, I said on the air, outside of the state of Arizona, I am watching more Arizona Cardinal football. I've watched every start. I find him to be fascinating. Yeah. And there's no question today he is a significantly better quarterback than a year ago. He's getting better, better, better.
Yeah.
But it does feel like, Albert, after that Hail Mary now, we have put him in an MVP conversation. And my question is, are you surprised by it? Is he ready for it?
I'm not surprised by it. We've seen it the last 3 years in a row, right? Like, Carson Wentz was probably the MVP of the league until he got hurt in 2017. And the last 2 years, you got Patrick Mahomes winning it in 18 and Lamar Jackson winning it in 19. I think what happens, Colin, is these teams have an advantage. When you've got a rookie quarterback who can really play, who's capable of giving you veteran-type production, and he's still on his rookie contract, you're capable of taking chances around him and giving him a lot of infrastructure. And you saw it with Patrick Mahomes the season before he got the starting job. They bring in Sammy Watkins, Lamar Jackson. They draft Hollywood Brown. They bring in Mark Ingram to help him. And we see it with DeAndre Hopkins now, who's on the other end of that play. And so Kyler Murray can really play. There's no question about it. But there's something to this part of it, too, that teams have really been able to take advantage of having quarterbacks who can play at a young age that are still on rookie contracts. We saw the Rams ride it to a Super Bowl. We saw the Chiefs win a Super Bowl in that circumstance. We saw the Eagles win a Super Bowl in that circumstance. I don't think it's any mistake that we're seeing a lot of guys mature fast. Part of it's that teams are being more creative and adaptable offensively, so those guys are ready to play earlier. But a big part of it is you're capable of putting a lot of infrastructure around them early in their careers because they're on cheap deals.
Well, expectations for Jameis Winston. They play suddenly semi-hot Atlanta twice. Tom Brady's had a few breaks in his career. Breeze getting hurt could end up being a break as he could retain, go back, and take over first place. Or, as I'm predicting, Jameis, with a very efficient, driven head coach, will make fewer mistakes, and I think the Saints are going to win their next three games. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, they were 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater last year, right? Like, so this isn't unprecedented. And, you know, I think if you want to look at how prepared Jameis is, I'll take you inside the building, Colin. He's been the backup, like, the last 2 months. Like, this wasn't like a last week type of thing. He's been the number two quarterback because Taysom Hill's been pulled away to work on special teams, to work as a skill position player. Like, Jameis Winston has been working, in effect, as the number two quarterback for 2 months, and he's been doing that under Sean Payton and alongside Drew Brees. You can't help but learn a lot in that circumstance. And, you know, he's got great infrastructure around him, too. One of the best offensive lines in football, guys like Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, great skill position talent, Mike Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook. It's an awesome situation for him to walk into. And, yeah, they lose a little bit with Drew Brees' institutional knowledge going out the door. But I can tell you, the coaches there are excited now. They get to kind of unlock a downfield element of their game.
Yeah.
It's been a little limited the last couple of years. So it should be really interesting to watch. And this is a golden opportunity for Jameis Winston to sort of reprise his career here in New Orleans.
Okay, so it's interesting. I said that I think I picked the Patriots to be 6-10, 5-11, and I think I was right most of the year. But then they beat Baltimore. They face the Texans. They obviously run the ball. The Texans can't defend the run. Do you believe New England goes on kind of a classic New England run here, or do you still think week to week this is a very average football team?
Well, I think there's average talent with transcendent coaching. So you do the math here. You look at their next four games. Jaguars, that's a win. Texans, that's a win. If they can split against the Rams and Chargers, they go 3-1 over that stretch. Then they're 7-6 with three division games left in a year when the NFL is going to seven teams in the playoffs in each conference. So I certainly think that they're in a position to compete for a playoff spot right now. I'd be surprised if they weren't in the race in December. And I'll tell you, there's a subtle little nuance there that happened over the last couple of weeks, Colin. They figured out who they are. They have a running back that they really believe in right now in Damian Harris.
Yeah.
They've learned how to use Cam Newton over 2 months, and they've got an offensive line that's playing really well. The defense has some deficiencies it didn't have last year. You're able to cover that up if you can shorten the game a little bit with that running game. They're capable of playing good complementary football because they know who they are. And you saw a little bit of it in week one and week two. And then they sort of strayed. They tried to become who they've been over the last 20 years. And I think they learned that, like, playing with Cam that way isn't very smart. If you talk to people who worked with Cam the last 9 years in Carolina, they'll tell you he needs a really strong running game around him. they're starting to give it to him. So I think Cam's going to start playing. The Patriots are going to start playing better. And I think they're going to be right there in the 9-10 win range at the end and in the hunt for an AFC playoff spot.
By the way, there's a story today that was addressed, confrontation yesterday, Carson Wentz, that he's a bad practice player and the Eagles' practices are a mess. And therefore, what transpires is it manifests itself into a bad Sunday performance. Yesterday, Wentz got real, prickly with the media. Yeah. But have you heard these stories recently?
I think the wiring's wrong with Carson Wentz right now. In fact, it's been noticeable enough that defensive coaches are starting to take advantage of it with what they're throwing at him. I think part of it's the infrastructure they lost after winning the Super Bowl. Frank Reich and John DeFilippo leaving the building was a bigger deal than I think many people realize. They're still trying to replace those guys. They've already made a second set of changes in that regard to try and fix it. So that's a problem. The offensive line have been the identity of that team forever. The offensive line's in shambles because of age and injuries right now. And they're asking Carson Wentz to kind of lift the team on his back, and he can't do it. And so I think there's a ton of reason for concern there going forward. And I'll tell you, Colin, it's interesting. We talk about quarterback development, right? Well, because, coaches in the NFL have become more open-minded, and because they're more willing to meet young quarterbacks halfway, scheme-wise, do some stuff that they did in college, we're seeing a lot of these quarterbacks able to get off to quick starts. And then comes the second adjustment, and that's really difficult. Like Lamar Jackson's going through that right now. We saw Cam Newton have to go through that earlier in his career. Robert Griffin III, Tim Tebow. There are guys who have made it past that and guys who have struggled to get past the second adjustment. And right now, I think it's very, very clear that the Eagles were doing a lot of stuff to make Carson Wentz comfortable early in his career. He had great infrastructure around him. And now he's really struggling with that second adjustment without as good infrastructure around him.
Yeah. Hey, finally, by the way, we know Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields are going to be really good. Mm-hmm. There's the kid out of BYU that everybody likes. But the bottom line, I looked yesterday, there are seven teams, and I included New England, that'll probably draft a quarterback. Are you hearing any names in the draft class?
Yeah, so I think Fields and Lawrence have separated themselves. Lawrence is transcendent. He goes number one. I think Fields would be number one overall in a lot of years, just not this year. So he probably goes second overall. And then it gets interesting. I think BYU, the Zach Wilson kid out of BYU and Mac Jones from Alabama, like they're jockeying with Trey Lance right now because Trey Lance isn't playing. And so I think that those two kids, and I think they'll both come out, Zach Wilson from BYU and Mac Jones from Alabama, have a shot if they play well enough down the stretch and have a good spring to overtake Trey Lance as a third quarterback. So I think there's a real race there.
Wow.
And then the sixth kid, who some people like, other people aren't as hot on, and I think he could go into the first round. I think he could wind up going in the fourth round, depending on how the next few months go, is Kyle Trask out of Florida, who's actually, if you look at it, having a Joe Burrow-type statistical season.
He is.
And so that's six kids right there that I think have a legit shot of going in the first round. So we knew this draft was going to be really strong at the top at quarterback. What we're finding out now, Colin, is it could be deep too, which is great news for teams like Indianapolis, like San Francisco, like Chicago, that might be drafting later in the round but still want a young quarterback.
Good stuff. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Thanks, bud.
Awesome. Thanks, Colin.
By the way, it's really interesting. Remember when Zion got hurt and the media is like, you can't play, protect yourself. And Zion's like, no, I'm going to play. He got a shoe deal because he decided to go back and play, a record shoe deal. Remember all the media? You college guys shouldn't play. Did you just hear that? It's not good not playing. Like I had an NFL general manager tell me. He goes, it's hard to draft a guy who hasn't played in 18 months. We don't have any film. So these quarterbacks and these college football players who played and didn't listen to the media, oh, you should be paid. And they're like, no, I got to get on the field and play and compete. They're going up the board. There are real concerns in the NFL. Like it's a physical league. Girls develop sooner than boys. We know that. You're like, girls by 12, 13, they're done growing. Boys grow 18. They have growth spurts. 19 years old, 20 years old, 21, they get bigger and stronger. So the kids who decided, I'm going to come back and play college football, they may only get four games in, but there's tape. There is tape. And by the way, this Kyle Trask kid wasn't a first rounder if he didn't play. He's a 6-round draft pick. Did you like Mac Jones last year? I didn't. He may be the fifth kid taken. Don't listen to the media. If you can play in college, go play. Show off. Let us see what you can do. Dominate, even if you blow through a shoe one time. Coming up next is the dynasty over for good in Golden State. We'll talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Thursday night is monster. It's huge. You win, your team owns the tiebreaker against Seattle in the NFC West, but your last matchup with them this year, they didn't even hit you once.
I don't really pay attention to those numbers because I know the type of guys they have over there. I know the guy, I played against them. They have great players, so for us to, you know, go out there in Seattle and try to get a win is going to be tough, but we got the guys to do it.
Probably one of the better, more entertaining Thursday night games in the history of that franchise. Two just relentlessly competitive, wildly entertaining players. So can't wait for that tonight. So a Warriors guard, Klay Thompson, one of the really good kids in the league. I know Michael Thompson's his dad. I've known for years. He's just a wonderful guy. Great family. Klay Thompson got hurt last night at a workout. A lot of concerns that it's pretty serious. Could be ACL, calf popped. Don't know, not guessing, not predicting. Fingers crossed for Klay Thompson. But if he does have a torn ACL, I do believe the Warriors dynasty and the Warriors run is officially over. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are called the Splash Brothers. They're not winning titles with one splash. And this goes to something I've always believed and I've never been very good at, but enjoy the great moments. They're fleeting. They don't last. If you look at the history of dynasties in this country with Tim Duncan and Tom Brady and LeBron and almost all of our great dynasties, they have only one thing in common. The stars in their prime were overwhelmingly healthy. And if you really look at what the Warriors are today, Steph is now 33 and pretty darn brittle. Klay can't stay healthy if this is an ACL. Draymond's past his prime. Andrew Wiggins is talented but largely a trade piece. And James Wiseman, who I thought was the best player in the draft, is fun, but he's a kid, and that's not going to win you playoff series. So LeBron, for the 12th, 13th year in a row, will again be the lead dog in the NBA, and so will the Lakers. And it's because, overwhelmingly, LeBron's never hurt. He's just always ready to go. And by the way, the key to the success this year for the Lakers wasn't just LeBron. He was there the year before. It was AD, who had been hurt, and finally this year was not. That's why the Lakers won the title. What I think is fascinating about the Warriors is that what created the dynasty was health. And what ended it is probably going to be health. The reason the Warriors were able to go get Kevin Durant is because Steph Curry got hurt very early in his career. And they didn't have to pay him big money. They didn't have to pay him huge money. Therefore, they could afford Kevin Durant. And now, Steph's injury, Klay's potential ACL injury, kind of what ends it. There's just too many good young teams in the West. And, you know, when I look at all dynasties have kind of a different sensibility or feel to them. But it's really funny about the Warriors dynasty. I always felt it was kind of fragile. And it was a little physically fragile. Kevin Durant got hurt. Steph's always had, you know, injury issues. But it was always kind of also, not a knock on it, but it was emotionally fragile. Draymond and Steve Kerr had their issues. Draymond had his issues with Kevin Durant. By the way, the Kobe Shaq thing was a little emotionally fragile, but they had been together. Remember, before the three titles, they'd been together several years. So it lasted a while and was very formidable for years and years. Even with Del Harris, they weren't winning titles. It was a very formidable team. But I always felt Golden State was a little fragile. Some of the guys, KD and Steph, struggled with health. Now Klay Thompson, who was an Iron Man early in his career, now he's going through it. And I always thought it was a little fragile emotionally. Mark Jackson did not see eye to eye with the general manager and the ownership. That was always a little off-putting to the ownership and Mark. And then Kerr comes in and kind of changes thing. And he wants to give Mark Jackson credit, but it's his team and he changed the offense. And you cross your fingers on this, but the West is getting better. The Lakers are absolutely better. The Clippers should be better. I don't want to play Denver next year. Chris Paul to the Suns, they're better. Dallas is young and getting better. You cross your fingers. If Klay's out for another year, there's some stuff to reboot here. Folks, Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades last two times longer than other blades. Weather's getting lousy. Get them at Walmart only. Greg Cosell NFL meat sandwich. next.